This morning I endeavored to preach some from the first chapter of the book of Psalms, and I'd like to go back to that psalm a little while this evening. This is the first psalm in the Bible, and it begins by saying, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The word blessed there basically meaning happy. Happy is the man that does not listen to ungodly counseling. He doesn't practice sin willfully in his life, and he doesn't become a scorner, beginning to blaspheme God and his word and be critical and arrogant. David says the man that refuses all of that is very blessed or happy. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So the happy man is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want to think with you just a moment on that word meditate. He meditates day and night on the Word of God. And the word meditate means to internalize, to really absorb what you are hearing. It's deeper than just knowing something. You actually sit down with it and it begins to shape your life. When you meditate on something, it really does begin to influence the way you live your life. Meditate. When I was a kid, I used to hear the term chew the cud. How many of y'all have ever heard that term? It's a picture of a cow, and I think other animals, that will eat, but they don't fully digest what they've eaten, and so they regurgitate it and they chew it again and they get everything they can out of it. That's meditating on something. That's really not just hearing something or being entertained by something, but you actually begin to digest it. You think deeply and slowly about something. And so, beloved, you and I, as God's children, would be a lot better off if we would meditate on the Word of God. Internalize it. So it actually becomes a way of thinking. It begins to shape us in this life. I want to turn with you now to an expression found in Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul would say in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, we know the world is always trying to conform us to its way of thinking. That's what the world is up to, and that's what Satan is up to, as Brother Alec was teaching us earlier this evening. Satan wants us to conform our thinking, our lifestyle, our habits, our behavior to the way the world lives. But Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And how do you keep from being conformed to this world? But be ye transformed. Instead of being conformed to the world and the way it's living, be ye transformed. And how are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to say tonight, beloved, that the thoughts we have, and I remember reading many, well, not many years ago, but several years ago on Google, just how many thoughts the average person has in one day. And it was shocking. Google, now I don't know how reliable this is, but scientists have a way of studying such things. They assume that the average person will have 50 to 60,000 thoughts in one day. There's no telling how many thoughts we've had since we got here tonight. You might have thought about the weather. You might have thought about who's here. You might have thought about the hymns we were singing. Hopefully those hymns were stirring up your pure mind and bringing good thoughts. That last song we sung, that really touched me. As thirst the heart for water brooks. I had a lot of thoughts, good thoughts, while we were singing that song. 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thinking, isn't it? Now, I believe God has given us authority over our thought life. We are the custodians of our minds. We have to determine ourselves what we think about. And the truth is, I don't think our thoughts originate with us. Our thoughts usually come from who we've been talking to or visiting with. While I was meditating on this afternoon, I thought about when Daddy used to take us over to Bubba Noble's barbershop. I don't know if anybody here ever went to Mr. Bubba or not, but it was a tiny little building, and it would usually be packed. Mr. Bubba had 10 or 12 kids, so he had to work till 12 o'clock at night cutting hair and farm during the day and drove a school bus. He was a worker. And I'd sit around over there and listen to the old folks talk, the old men. And I can tell you, they stirred up my mind. I remember Mr. Whitaker. Some of y'all knew Mr. Whitaker, lived in this community. He was a smart man. He was a foreman or something up at one of the chalk mines. And I remember the night that they sat around and talked about whether you had a certain time to die or not. They got my mind stirred up as a little boy on whether you've got a certain time to die. You know, a lot of people believe you do, and they say when your time comes, that's it. And Mr. Whitaker explained, no. He said, you think about all the boys that died in a 4-year period during World War II. Surely God had not arranged all of that. Well, that made good sense to me. I'm telling, and I say old men, I'm sure they were younger at that time than I am now, but listen, us old folks, we need to be careful what we're talking about around children because they're listening. Amen? They're getting it as parents, as grandparents, as uncles, aunts. We need to be very careful what we're thinking about. But those thoughts didn't originate with me, but I'd sit there and fortunately, it was usually a decent conversation. I mean, Mr. Bubba wouldn't allow a lot of profanity and all that going on. But listen, the thoughts that you have every day are coming to you either from the people you're talking with. And I got to thinking about the time I used to spend in Brother Ben Lord's home. Goodness, on Sunday afternoons, we'd go over there. And we just had a Bible feast sitting around. Brother Ben was a great fireside preacher. Y'all know what a fireside preacher is? It's somebody that just sits in his living room and opens the scriptures to us. And it was just it just fed my soul and stirred up my pure mind. So be careful the company you keep, because I can tell you it's going to have an influence on you. And so the people we talk to are going to have an influence on our thinking. What you read, what you watch on TV, what you read on the internet, all of that is generating thoughts in your mind. So if you want to have good thoughts, if you want to have a healthy mind, if you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, choose carefully what you read. Carefully what you watch on TV. You know, there's some things on television that'll stir up your pure mind. Nell and I have been watching the Waldens lately. How many of y'all have ever watched the Waldens? I'm telling you, that I just about like going to church. They always teach me a good lesson. The Waldens do. And young, I told Nelda that ought to be required reading in our watching in our schools. all the children in America ought to have to sit there and watch the Waldens 1 hour every day. I'm telling you, it would stir up your pure mind. You can choose what you watch on television. Amen. I tell you, Andy Griffith, I've never watched Andy, but what I didn't feel a little better. Usually you'd laugh a little, and it was always good and healthy and decent. So thank God that we can watch something on TV entertaining that stirs up our pure minds. And when you're on the internet, listen, beloved, there's a lot of decent stuff on the internet. But let me say this, when you wake up in the morning and you start watching the news, and I've done that, sadly, a lot in my life, all it does is get your mindset in a certain rut, and you're going to be anxious or worried about what went on last night while you were asleep. And I'm learning slowly to get my mind on the Word of God early in the morning. And it really helps. Now, it's a battle. Listen, we're in spiritual warfare. Satan is after our thought life. How many of y'all know the devil wants to control your thinking? And the battlefield is the mind. The Apostle Paul told the Colossians, he said, set your affection, that is your thoughts, your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. And so Paul would say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let Satan conform you to the way the world is thinking. I watched an interesting news this morning about New Orleans. You know, it was 20 years ago that Katrina hit. 20 years ago. Nelda and I had just moved to Birmingham. And a lot of people were coming to Birmingham, refugees from New Orleans. Cost $150 billion. They lost half of their population. 1,800 people killed during that awful time. But they were interviewing a man who was talking about New Orleans, the Big Easy. And he said, you know, New Orleans is a city where they don't judge you. You can just do anything you want. No judgment. Now, how many of us need to live in a city like that? I don't. I need to be around people that hold me accountable. I don't need to be around people with their magnifying glass looking at every wrinkle. But I do need around people that love the Lord and love me. And if they see me doing something or saying something I shouldn't, they will get on my case. How many of y'all are open to that? Now, that's my job as a preacher. So I don't preach to anybody individually. I've never done that from the pulpit. I don't pick on anybody. But my responsibility is to preach the word and to tell y'all how to think. And we need that influence in the house of God. When you believe and you're baptized and you come into the church, there's a salvation there if we really are faithful to the church and faithful to attend the church and faithful to become an active part of the church. And we're there and willing to help any way we can. There's a salvation for God's children as we gather in the house of God. And beloved, it's wonderful to start our days off that way. I've been asking the Lord, I've been praying to the Lord to please help me, Lord, when I wake up in the morning to have you on my mind. And you know what? He's been faithful to do that. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, you can ask the Lord, Lord, be right there with me when I gain consciousness in the morning and help me to think about you and call on you and begin to pray. And listen, there's a lot to pray about in this world. And when you can wake up in the morning and your mind is on God and on prayer and you can begin to commune with Him. And see, listen, beloved, the most effectual prayers in the world are those private prayers. Jesus taught us to go into our closet and pray, didn't He? I love public prayer. I believe in public prayer. And I am blessed by public prayer. But let me tell you, private prayers, going in your closet, and just you and God alone, that's effectual prayer. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to impress anybody with your vocabulary or your thoughts. You're just communing with your heavenly Father, just you and Him alone. And let me tell you, He'll help you to get your mind set right for that day. Notice what our Savior did in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That's our Savior. Did y'all hear that? He got up early in the morning, long before the sun up, and went out by Himself and communed with His Heavenly Father. If He needed that, you know Sam Bryant needs it. I need to get my mind right early in the morning. And so Jesus gave us that great example to set our minds and keep them set on things above. And the hymn book. I tell you, brethren and sisters, I love singing. Now there are some songs in the song book that are not, to me, real edifying, but they probably are to other people. That's why we got such a selection. There are songs in this book I would never select. There are songs in the book you'd probably never select. But there are songs in there that are going to appeal to you and bless you. And I would encourage you to sing them through the day. How many of y'all sing in the shower? Come on now. How many of y'all sing driving down the road? How many of y'all just sing to yourself? It's a good practice. Nelda's always singing. She's a songbird. It's good to just sing to yourself the good old hymns, because singing helps to lock these truths into your mind. These jingles, like they use on TV to advertise. I remember Brother Gary Hall, I'll share this with you all. If Brother Gary, I don't remember exactly the story, but I remember one day he was walking through the house and he was singing a jingle about a certain kind of beer. He'd heard it so much, it had settled into his mind, and he caught himself singing that little jingle. They spend millions of dollars coming up with these jingles. They know how to advertise. I forget the name. Brother Dan might remember something about it's a something night. I mean, Brother Gary was convicted about it, but you know, it had settled in his mind. Well, I want to tell you, these beautiful old hymns will settle in your mind and you'll catch yourself humming them. If you can't sing, you can hum. You know why hummingbirds hum? They can't sing, but they can hum. You and I can hum. Just get your mind on good thoughts from the Word of God and from the hymn book. And it'll help you, and it'll help me, and I need this. Because let me tell you, friends, it's a battle. And you may win the battle today, but tomorrow you're going to have to win it again. Because Satan is going to be right there, or his demons, or his influencers, and they're going to try to come in and take over our thoughts. So I want to encourage all of us to not dwell on negative things. If there are things that you are scared of, listen, and I know a lady that she grew up in her grandparents' home, and her grandparents were terrified by bad weather. And her husband told me, Brother Sam, every time a dark cloud comes up, she panics. She was actually brainwashed by her grandparents to fear a dark cloud. Now that's sad. Listen, if you see a tornado coming, sure, you need to take cover. But just to live in fear because there's a dark cloud. See, her mind was set to live that way. We don't want our children to live in fear, do we?
How many of us want our children to be terrified and constantly living in fear and thinking there's some monster under the bed at night? You don't want to do that. You don't. That's not a good thing. I remember when I was young, the older folks would tell us about monsters on the creek between here and Danville. And I tell you, it was terrifying. That's not good to teach children that. And you and I don't need to live in fear. And when fearful thoughts come into our minds, and maybe we begin to breathe hard and maybe sweat a little, you know what we need to do? We need to quote to ourselves the Word of God. Did you know that over 365 times in this good book that I've got here, God said, "Fear not," or "Fear thou not." 365 times. You say, "Now, Brother Sam, have you counted that?" No. We got computers, I'm sure, now. Somebody gave me an app on my phone the other day. I am amazed. I hadn't learned how to use it all, but it can tell you how many times a certain word was used in the Bible. But if y'all are interested, y'all could do that homework. 365 times. Why would God say to us in His book, "Fear not," 365 times? That's one for every day. Because He knew that we live in a dangerous, troubled world. And there's danger all around us. And Satan wants us scared. And the world would like to scare us. And you and I need to experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And remember what David said in the Psalms. Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Somebody asked an old preacher one time, "Do you have dying grace?" He said, "No, but when I need it, I'll have it." Do y'all believe that? I believe when you come to that hour, when you're going to pass away from this world, you won't, listen, you'll need your mind on God. My brother Kai, Tammy was able to catch him singing one of our church hymns not long before he left this world. Would y'all like to live that way? Would y'all like to face the monster death without fear? Why? Because you got a lot of money in the bank, or because you are popular, or you got a doctor's degree? Or no. He said, "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." God is everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. And by the way, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. We know as old Baptists what He did yesterday. Thank God we're blessed to know that. Yesterday He created the universe. Yesterday He saved us on the cross. And we know what He's going to do forever, don't we? He's coming back in His glory, and He's going to get us and take us to heaven. But what you and I need to know right now is what He's doing today. Are y'all with me? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I love that. You know, what's He doing today? Well, you know, that verse is in Hebrews 13, but I want to tell you. In Hebrews chapter 4, Paul said, he's describing Jesus as our great high priest, and He's on the throne of the universe. Did you know there's one throne in the United States? Now, they got thrones in England, in Europe, other places. There's one throne in one state in the United States. You know where it is? It's in Hawaii. When Hawaii became a state, they left the throne there, but nobody sits on it. But let me tell you, we've got a throne tonight, and Jesus is on that throne. And you can approach Him anytime, day or night. He's not going to be asleep. He's not going on vacation. He'll be there. And Paul said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." And that's going on tonight. See, if y'all need Him tonight, He's going to be there for you. How many of y'all believe that? He's right there. Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to worry, fret, be scared. Let me tell you something else you and I need to be sure we don't have our minds dwelling on. If somebody's offended us, How many of y'all have ever obsessed on somebody, something somebody did to you that hurt your feelings? I'm going to have to confess publicly. I'm not proud of it, but I have. But let me tell you, it never brought me any joy at all. How many of y'all have ever obsessed? You know, some people are easily offended. You just look at them funny. And they get hurt. And maybe they totally misinterpreted your look. But we do get offended sometimes and hurt. Don't let your mind dwell on that. You know what you and I ought to do for anybody that's hurt us or offended us? Let's pray for them. I tried that recently, and I'll tell you, it just made all the difference in the world. I'm not going to tell y'all who it was, but I got a little hurt. And rather than dwelling on that, I thought, Lord, what they have done to me is nothing compared to what I've done to you, and you've forgiven me. You know what Jesus said when he was nailed to that cross? The first words that came out of the Savior's lips after having been scourged and beaten to a pulp and crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross. You know the first words that came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Brother, his mind was right, wasn't it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if y'all enjoy pouting and being hurt and grieving and all of that, I want to tell you, it's not going to bring you any joy at all. It's just going to make you miserable. And God is not pleased with it. But happy is the man who meditates day and night on the Word of God. You say, now, preacher, you're a preacher, and we expect you to be studying the Bible, but we got a job. Listen, if you've got a job, you need to have your mind on it. But you don't need to have your mind on it in a way that's going to create sinful thoughts. Amen? May God help you all. Thank you for your good attention here this evening.